Welcome back to the Roundtable. This morning we meet a mother and her son who are two successful authors and will be reading and signing in our region tomorrow night. Prize-winning writer Hala Seaman received critical acclaim for Body Work Stories, a collection of stories about women on the brink, and for her mystery novel Flesh. Hollis will read from and discuss her new story collection, Corporeality, which is very tough to say, I've realized. It's easier to read than it is to say. Corporeality, which was recently published by Able Muse Press. Tobias Seaman's first novel, The Magician's Study, was praised by Booklist for its stylistic inventiveness and skill with characterization nothing short of breathtaking. The poet, filmmaker, and fiction writer will read from his new novella, The Fairgrounds, set in Catterskill, and as a nod to Washington Irving. Both will be at the Bookhouse in Stuyvesant Plaza at 7 p.m. tonight. And I'm getting a weird thing in my headphones, Dave. Is that? There you go. It's a pleasure to welcome Hollis and Tobias Seaman to the Roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. Good morning.
Thank you so much. So, I mean, the obvious question is you both have books out at the same time, so how much do you keep in contact with one another about what is going on in your work?
Well, we email back and forth, so I always kind of know what's going on. We don't collaborate as such.
No, right.
I do often send early drafts to Tobias, and he's a great editor.
Yeah, it's like she said, we don't really collaborate, but you know what someone's thinking, what kind of projects they've got going on, what they've got in their mind, and again, like, send drafts over. Please help me with this. Please help me with this. I think that there's something wrong here, but I don't know what it is, and she's excellent at spotting those things. So
what is it like growing up with not only a writer, but someone who teaches this, is a professor at the College of St. Rose? And is it, I mean, do you feel that, and I will ask both of you this question, but do you feel that there is, you know, there is a gene, that it is somewhat genetic?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's like any other trade or profession. You watch people doing something, you learn from watching how they do it. Writing's a bit different. When you have a writer in the house, it takes what can be, well, other people sometimes consider sort of an abnormal thing, which is to sit at a desk for hours a day making up stories. When you see your parents or mother, whoever, doing that, it adds an air of normalcy to that. It's entirely normal. If you get an idea for a story, you think, well, what about so-and-so doing this or that? You sit down and you write it. It seems entirely that's what you do.
So as a parent, solitary confinement can be normal.
As a parent, solitary confinement can be normal. And I have a younger son as well. My kids were well trained to not bother me too much when I was in that mode. Tobias once sat outside my study door with a broken hand until I was finished writing before he decided it was worth telling me about. It was, you know, it's just a pinky bone. It's hardly anything.
I've blocked that out. I have no memory of that at all. So.
It was the baseball mitt, remember?
I remember that.
So there's a fine line between, you know, the life of an artist and calling Child Protective Services. So it does show your commitment to the art, which I assume then obviously is passed down to your children.
I think so. I think it's also, it can be a little tricky as far as genre and as far as being a teacher of writing. Certainly in his early years, Toby didn't ask me to read drafts, and he was mostly a poet. And I think it was when he turned to fiction writing that I thought, uh-oh, you know, now he's in my world. So I think it's also something about, like he said, seeing someone do it, but also as a parent being a little hesitant to offer him help when he didn't want it or he didn't need it.
So let us talk about the work itself and the new work that you'll be talking about and signing tomorrow night. For you, Hollis, it's a Corporeality. It is a collection of stories. And I mentioned, of course, Body Work, which is a collection of stories as well. This does not have the same type of theme, right? I mean, this is a little more random. Is that safe to say?
I think there is an underlying theme, again, of bodies, of the unreliability of bodies, of kind of disaster hovering off to the side a little bit. I think what's different about Corporeality from Body Work is that in this one I used a lot more magic realism, a little bit more fabulism. There are fairy tale motifs. There are elements of the non-realistic that really weren't in the first collection. So these are a little bit more experimental. I had a lot of fun with that.
Was that something you always wanted to experiment with?
I've always done it a little bit in short stories in particular, not in my novels, but in short stories. And I think that's sort of the place where I feel comfortable experimenting. Mm-hmm. So I think these stories, as a group, they were written over a very long period of time. I mean, these have been written over a decade. But when I put them all together and we decided which ones were going to go in the collection, I think that kind of became a theme. Part of that is working with the editor, who decides which stories are going to go and which stories are going to stay and all of that.
And Tobias, it's your new novella is The Fairgrounds. It's set in Catterskill, as I mentioned. And so a little more than a short story. This is something that you wanted to flesh out a little bit more.
Yeah, this the Fairgrounds had a kind of interesting history. It's one of the only I wrote a short story years ago called The Fairgrounds about this sort of fabulist funeral or cemetery designer. It's one of the only things I ever lost on a computer.
Oh.
I went to save it and it disappeared. I had multiple documents open. It disappeared. The idea kind
of thousands of people just listening to what you just said just went,
Yeah, I was saying worse than that when it happened.
Oh, I'm sure you did. And you have every right to. We just don't want to lose our license.
No, it was actually okay. The story wasn't that great, but parts of it that I stuck in my head for years afterwards, and then it just sort of grew into something else. And that's where the current novella came from.
And was Washington Irving sort of always in your mind?
No. That happened as the story was going along. I thought a lot about Washington Irving with several other projects that never really quite – they never really happened. It didn't work out. And then Washington Irving and the Headless Horseman sort of slipped into this one. And it ended up becoming a real central motif of the entire thing.
Mm.
I think he'd been there the whole time without me realizing it. And part of that is also reflected in the book. It's the town, the Headless Horseman is really the central motif of this entire village without them really realizing it either.
Right.
So that's
so
how
the two come together as far as the realization.
Exactly. Exactly.
When is it fun to go out and talk about your books together?
It's really fun. It's fun for me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
No, it's fun because it's, I mean, like you mentioned with her, the magic realism and experimenting with bits of that. As a kid,
which is kind of your bailiwick, right? I mean, that's what you do. So.
Exactly. And that's sort of, I mean, as a kid growing up, Raymond Carver was the same as J.R.R. Tolkien. It's all just books. You just read whatever you see, you like, and that all sort of, in my mind, sort of transmogrified into something that's all the same. So.
And I think after reading Tobias's work, his ability to do so much with fabulism and fantasy and yet still keep real heart in mm-hmm. there so that you really feel emotionally attached to characters who may be, you know, way out there in terms of reality, I admired that so much. And I guess I thought, I think I should try doing not the same thing, but I'd like to try to do some of the effects that he manages to achieve. So I learned something.
Your own take on that. Hollison, Tobias Seaman will be at the Bookhouse in Stuyvesant Plaza, 7 p.m. tomorrow night. You can find out more information by going to bhny.com, bhny.com. Thank you both for being here. It's a great pleasure. Always wonderful to see you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.